If you have a Bible, it would be good if you could open it to the first reading we had, Philippians chapter 1, and we'll be looking at verses 19 through verse 30. So Philippians 1, beginning at verse 19. Let us pray as we open God's word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you you're able to gather here today. And Father God, as we open your word, we ask, Father, that your word will be clearly proclaimed. You'll help me to speak it truthfully, that it may be an encouragement and may be a challenge to each one of us. Father, use your spirit to apply your word to our lives, that we may go away strengthened and challenged for the week ahead. And so, Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's probably true when I say for most of us, we don't think about death. Certainly in our society, the quickest way to kill a conversation is to talk about death, probably closely followed by taxes and religion. But even as Christians, it's a topic that we often avoid. We don't think about, we don't contemplate. For most of us, it's an event we consider to be way in the future. Yet I know for some of us here, it's a much more a reality today as people face a terminal illness, or maybe just being getting to that age when we know that life will not go on much longer. But even when people have an illness, it seems to be that we often assume that God wants our life to continue. So our first response is to pray for healing. Now, it's not wrong to do that. Indeed, I encourage you to pray for healing. But we also need to consider at times the other side of the possibilities. That is, that it might actually be time to go home. As we look at life and death, do we look at it in the context of our relationship with God through Jesus? I think Paul's letter here to the church at Philippi can help us as we reflect upon this Christian priority. For as we read the passage today, we see that Paul considers the possible outcomes of his imprisonment. The possibility of further ministry amongst the Philippians and elsewhere, or the possibility that it might be time for him to go home to Christ. Paul begins by saying, even in his imprisonment, life is worth living. Paul could have thrown in the towel, as we saw last week, as he spoke about his imprisonment. Indeed, later on, he speaks about some who proclaim the gospel, but out of envy for him, he could have got bitter about those who were proclaiming Jesus, but at the same time were also aiming criticism at him. He could have done what we're too often tempted to do. On the one hand, when difficulty comes, we're tempted to think that somehow maybe we're not faithful enough, or we haven't prayed enough, or it's something that we haven't done, and that's why calamity have come our way. Or on the other hand, we can sometimes think calamity come because God is not faithful enough, blaming him for the setbacks that we face. Now, it's hard to know what our response would be in these situations. It's hard to know what we may think at any particular time. But we can learn from Paul. For Paul sees these events, both the good and the bad, in the light of God's grace in Christ. He sees it, yes, as a different opportunity for proclaiming the gospel to continue his mission, but also it might be time for life to come to an end. It doesn't faze Paul, because he sees both life and death in terms of his relationship with Christ. Well, as we turn to our reading today in Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, we see Paul has a very positive view of these things that are happening to him. He says, "For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what is happening to me will turn out for my deliverance." There he's speaking about the imprisonment, the opportunities he's had to share with the prison guards, the different opportunities to proclaim the gospel. He sees even the difficult things in his life as something that has come from God. That it'd be something that'll turn out for good. And he talked about it in terms of the deliverance. And he's not just thinking here of being delivered from prison and again to freedom, but rather it can be also translated as vindication or salvation. He sees it as part of his relationship with Jesus through grace. He sees it as confidence that he is believing in the right one. Now, in some ways, it almost appears counterintuitive. Here he's got difficulty, and yet he says, I have even greater confidence in the one that I trust. I know that he is in control. What is happening to me, whether I continue in prison or is released to live his life, he sees it in the light of Christ. He sees it as part of God's plans and God's purposes. And indeed, he goes on to say he's confident that God will give him strength. I eagerly expect and hope that I will no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Whatever God may bring his way, his hope is that Christ will be glorified. That as he lives his life and he faces the difficulties, as he faces the joy, that all it may speak of Christ. That he is the one who will be exalted. That Paul will follow the example that Jesus himself gave. As Jesus went to the cross, well, he didn't go around blaming people or getting angry with people. But he went quietly knowing that the Father was in control. Indeed, for Paul, it didn't matter what the physical outcome would be. If he lived, well, good. If he died, well, even better. So Paul certainly comes from the aspect of living a life worthy of the gospel. But if God says time is up, then he is happy with that as well. Indeed, a bit later on, when we look at verses 27 and following, when Paul concludes that for now the time is to continue mission, he encourages the Christians at Philippi to live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. That both in life and death it may speak of the one of whom we believe. As I said, it didn't faze Paul that life could have been brought to an end. He sees it in a positive light. And so we see not only is it a life worth living, but it is a death worth more. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, at one level, as Paul contemplates the possibilities, he actually sees death as the better option. Note what he says in verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and that is a positive, but to die is gain. Later on, he speaks about being torn. In verse 23, I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it may be more necessary for you that I remain in the body. And of course, Paul's attitude to both really comes from two related conclusions he's come to about Jesus. He can have this confidence in the possibility of his death because, first of all, he understands that Jesus' death on the cross was to pay a price that he could not pay. And we'll come to that a little bit later on in chapter 3 when he talks about the things he relies upon for God's righteousness. But he's confident that as Jesus has died on the cross and his death is worth far more because it does far more than our life could pay back. We cannot pay back that debt. And because of that death, there is a certain hope in death. So that's his first conclusion. Christ's death is worth more. He has died, and therefore I know I am forgiven. But second, Paul also sees that the goal of the gospel, and the gospel is to bring people to relationship with Christ, but the ultimate goal is again tied up with death, because in the end, it is drawing people to the Father. It is to gather them around the throne of Christ. And so in some ways, our ultimate goal is actually to die, to be taken home. And that'll be true probably for most of us here, unless Christ returns before we die. And so Paul sees this as a natural conclusion of what God has done. He's bringing into hell a new people and a new heaven and a new earth. And it's a wonderful way in which, in a sense, the curse of sin, which is death, God uses that through the death of Christ, and indeed through our death, to actually bring good. To bring people into this permanent relationship, a relationship that will be without the shortcomings of our earthly bodies, our sinful bodies. And as we start to see things in this way, then we start to see why Paul can say to die is gain. Now, it's not as though Paul has given up on life. It's not as though as Paul is working through this, he's thinking about, well, you know, should I take my own life? No, it's nothing about that. He's just seeing both possibilities as being under the lordship of Christ. He looks at them both in the same way. They are focused in Christ. And he's content no matter what God will bring. And of course, ultimately, it's God's choice in this. And the challenge for us is, because we'll probably be quite happy with the first part of the sermon. Yes, it's a life worth living, and we want to live it for Christ, and although we often fail in that. It's the second part that we find a bit more difficult. Do we agree with Paul that to die is gain? Do we see death in this light? Because of Christ's death, we can look forward to our death with confidence. There may be fear, there may be uncertainty there because we don't know what will happen, but in the end we can have ultimate confidence in the promise and faithfulness of God. And so the other question is, do we sometimes hold on to life too tightly? Or are we willing to serve Jesus both in life and in death? Now, I said, as Paul works through this debate, he comes to the conclusion at the moment he thinks God's got further work for him to do. And so he says in verse 25, that convinced of this, that I know that I'll remain, I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. He's got further work in encouraging the Philippians, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ will be overflowing on account of me. Elsewhere it talks about that the boasting will be in Christ. Christ will be lifted up. Christ will be glorified. And so he sees that good as well. So the question is it a difficult choice? Or is it actually a win-win situation? As we see for Paul and for us, we can be torn. But in the end, are we willing to trust God in every and ultimately every situation, whatever God chooses? Clearly, we want to hang on to life in many ways. We may see further opportunities for ministry, further people we want to witness to. We obviously don't want to be leaving family and friends. Maybe there are things we still desire to do. You know, people talk about the bucket list. Things we like to see, and that's not wrong in itself. Paul's not saying that's wrong because that's enjoying God's creation, what God has given us, the life that God has given that God wants us to live to the full. But on the other hand, do we also desire to be with Christ? As I said, for Paul, it's a win-win situation. When God says time has come, he is happy to go, for he will be with his Lord and his Saviour. But Paul wants to continue to encourage us in this life. To live, as we've already mentioned, a life that will bring glory to God, a life that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. And he hopes that the Philippians will be encouraged to stand firm. We see there in verse 27, in one spirit contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. And of course, we can start to do it without being frightened about what may happen, because we know that both life and death is a win-win situation. Both are focused in Christ. And of course, our attitude to both life and death will also speak of who we believe in. As Christians, we can bear witness to those around us at how we face our impending death, the priorities we take on as we live our life here, now, and for God. And indeed, as we live our life, being on the right path doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't necessarily mean there'll be a life of comfort. And so Paul talks about we may suffer along with Christ. So we've got to be careful when people talk about a prosperity gospel, that if you're faithful, God will give you all these good things. It may be something he gives, but there's no guarantee. But as Paul says, we may also face a time of suffering. But again, that doesn't undermine our faith. We don't feel as though we're unfaithful or God is unfaithful. We just see it as part of being of a life lived following our Saviour Jesus. So Jesus is not just our substitute, and that's a true theology. God, Jesus died on the cross in our place, but it's not the whole story. Because you could have that and sort of say, yeah, I believe in that, and now I've got my get out of free card, and I just live my life as a what? Because that's happened. He did it for me. That is true, but he's also our representative. That as we identify with Christ, we also die upon the cross with him. And as Jesus said to his disciples, don't be surprised when they persecute you because they persecuted me first. And certainly this time of suffering was true for Paul. Here he was imprisoned. It was true for the Philippians, and it may also be true for us. And how we deal with the events of our life, the circumstances of our death, is dependent on how we look at Jesus and how we see life and death in that light. Now, we don't know what the future will hold. I don't know what will happen for you in the next weeks, months, years ahead. I don't know what's going to happen for me. But whatever God brings our way, let us deal with it with confidence that Paul has. The confidence that he learnt from Jesus. And that is in Jesus, God is faithful. And in Jesus, we can face both life and death. And how we go about it may speak of him who is our Saviour and our Lord. So let us be encouraged and let us have confidence in Jesus. Amen.